Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wealth Protector TV. This is Paul Hitchcock with the firm Barth Calderon, and this is our channel to bring you incredible information with the people we're dealing with, entrepreneurs, like my guest today, Jerry Kahn. Jerry, can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Excellent. And really excited for this talk. Obviously, Jerry, you and I have talked a lot offline. We know each other pretty well, and you've got a lot of great stuff going on. I want to start with first, tell us, you know, a little bit about your background. I think that is a good starter. And let's get into Age Brilliantly, your company. So let's go there.
Okay, not a problem. So I always figure out when people ask me to introduce myself, what do I talk about, right?
Where were you born?
So I asked somebody, how would you describe it? And he's looking at me and he goes, Jerry, you're a Renaissance man. I go, wow, really? Am I that old? He goes, not that old, but you're the concept of a Renaissance man.
Yeah, not from the Renaissance.
But right, exactly. So it felt a little bit better, especially with Age Brilliantly. You know, I don't want to know I'm still running the world from after all those 100 years. I think I'm a Renaissance man because what I've made a decision early on in my life was to learn as much as I can about as many different things as I can that impact on people, and then be able to build the skills that I need to be able to make the world a better place. Everybody wants to do it, but I guess I paid the price a little more than other people. Right. So I got a psychology degree because I wanted to know people, focused on organizations because that's the leverage point to make a difference, focused on getting a law degree so I could go to Capitol Hill and make policy on healthcare and environment when people weren't even talking about that stuff.
Yep.
And then from there, I said, you know, now that I've got a good understanding of it, what really makes a difference in life? And the answer is it's being one-on-one like you and I are right now.
Right.
So I moved from there into a company that was innovative in healthcare. I had a great idea for something and was going bankrupt. And as the leader spoke to me when he called me and he said, I'd love if you'd be able to come up here and give us your opinion. I said, well, what's the issue? He says, if we're inventing new ways to serve people and we don't stay alive, people get hurt. Right. I said, you got my number. I got it. Next thing I know, I give up my house in Washington, go back to New York, turn around the company and blow a whole new model for healthcare through clinics and things like that that can be done. And then I get into computer graphics because it's all about communication. How do you communicate more effectively, technology enhancing it, and became a leader in the whole world of computer graphics at the same time. Thank God for me, it was really nice. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, all of these people are building their things. I'm a little nobody doing it, but I'm inspired by them.
And you were having a family along the way too, right? You got kids and everything.
I have kids along the way. I'm very fortunate. I have twins, identical twins. And the first thing my wife said when we found out is, I know you studied twins and it's part of your social psychology course. You're not allowed to use the home as a laboratory. Oh, I said, I got it. Okay. And yet it's been great. And then I have a third. And what's really great about, again, as we get to the Age Brilliantly part, is that they're all there now. Two of them kind of millennials, one Gen Z, but they're in that same area.
Right.
So when you hear people talking about, and we'll talk about this, the great resignation, or why are people leaving jobs when they're just starting? I know the answer because I've listened, I've watched them and I've heard them. Anyhow, fast forward, I sell. So I've gone through the whole concept of building a company, working with the top CEOs of the world, selling the company, building an incubator, building a public relations firm, and then Vistage, which is how you and I first met with somebody there. Because here's 25,000 CEOs, all at the cutting edge of all kinds of industries. And I have this chance to listen and learn and teach while I'm working with my members.
And you've got Vistage groups now.
I have two CEO groups and a trusted advisor group. And trusted advisors, I love, and there's only two of us who do it in New York, because, hey, I'm a trusted advisor. I'm an entrepreneur. It's that kind of group of people. Right. Anyhow, throughout all of this, what am I really? I'm a teacher. I'm a mentor. In fact, my sons, talk about my sons, they wrote a book called When Millennials Rule. It's been published by a major publication, and they dedicated it to their mentor. And nice. I thought, that's the nicest compliment I've gotten.
Beautiful.
Look at us.
Beautiful,
so
yeah.
About 5 years ago, I'm walking the streets. I teach in China sometimes. Used to, anyhow.
Right.
And I'm walking the streets, and I'm saying, Jerry, this is where you are. You're teaching in China. You're learning about their culture. How do you feel? And I go, still not satisfied. Still not fulfilled. I want to do more. I'm not doing enough. And I start asking, well, what's the single biggest challenge that I can spend my time on? And really, this will be my legacy act, take the next 800 years of my life. Yeah, I've been around that long. and I run a company called Presentation Excellence, and people, when they win deals with me. And they said, you know, where'd you all learn this? I said, the hardest was my very first client. This guy by name of Noah. He had this ark. He had to get all of those animals in this teeny weeny little ark. And how did he do it? It's a great presentation. You had to be there.
I love it. Yeah. No, I get it. Well, you're Dorian Gray in many ways, Jerry. You don't seem to age at all. So I can't wait to get into age brilliantly.
That's the key. Got out of that fountain of youth or whatever. Anyhow, so I start thinking about it. I'm listening. It's funny. I'm in China in a hotel where the only English channel is from Japan. So I'm listening to Japanese, and I start doing that, and I'm reading the Chinese paper, and every other day, there's another article about longevity. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I suddenly started realizing, you know, we take it for granted. You know, it's like a fish doesn't see the water. We don't see the air. And we know we're getting older, and we know that, you know, our parents would say, oh, when I'm 65, you know, I'll probably be in a nursing home, and I'll die right afterwards or whatever. And we're looking at our parents who are 70 already, and they're not doing that. So we're saying, okay, but we're not thinking about it. And so I start doing my research on it. And I come to this simple conclusion. And we've had this conversation, you and I, is that people today have a good chance to live to 100 plus.
Right.
And that's going to get longer and longer. There's a guy, Peter Diamandis, at the Singularity University, who has actually put his name on record saying somebody today has already been born who will live to 150.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Why is that so amazing, though, if you think about it? Because we could always grow and live longer. The difference is life changes. So let's go back. It's 1900. The average person is living to 45. You don't go to school and college or grad school. What you're doing is by 12, you're in the field and you're working.
You're working
hard and you're surviving. Or right. If you went to the cities right after that, you did the same thing. You survived. And then you work to a point where you just couldn't do it anymore. And you pretty much died 45, 50 at that point.
Yeah.
So life was kind of where we all came from. You have to survive. Now what happens with health, with nutrition, with all of the science we know, less wars killing off people earlier on. It changes the equation where people suddenly can live longer, but now they have a responsibility. Because if I have all those years, I can do more. And that's really what changes in the world. Like today, we want to have not fossil fuels, but EVs. We don't want to have a climate that's going to kill us, but a climate we can survive it. Suddenly, we're realizing we are responsible for our lives and we can do it.
And Jerry, that's changed the landscape in a lot of industries, right? The fact that people are living longer, I mean, financial planning to, you know, healthcare. I mean, people working longer, you know, because they can. I mean, it's changed everything, right?
It changes everything. But the things that don't change are two things. One is people don't realize that they're responsible for that. Right. And they can do things about it. So, and the second part is institutions. And it's a fascinating thing. Again, I have some policy, so I love watching this, is how we build an institution and it lives on and on and on, even when it's no longer functional. So think about it this way. Between 19, let's say 50 and now, we've added almost 30 new years we have in life. But all those institutions at the very beginning, the financial planners, the major retirement organizations, etc., their philosophy is, well, you're still going to retire at 55, 60, 65, major organization, 37 million members, who are told at 50 on their birthday, they get this card saying, you're old, as everyone says, I don't feel it, but they told you you are. And for $12, you get to be a member. The point is, they've added that period of time to past that age. So to live to 80 or 90 means you've added in your retirement more years. Think how stupid that is. Is that what anyone really wants? Oh, I get to sit in a wheelchair longer?
No way.
What we want to do is recognize what's happened is it's like a different scale has been put in front of us. We now have, let's assume 20, we start adulthood. It might end at 100. And we have 80 years in there to do anything we want, any way we want, with any priorities we want.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at what that opportunity meant, I did exactly what you said. Look at all these things that are there. Financial planners, there was an article in Tulsa World that came out this week. I did his workshop on this just yesterday. And he says, what are the five things you need to know if you're going to exit your company to retire? And they're all about the dollars in your company. What about fulfilling life?
Right.
Most of us don't go to work just to make money. We go to make money to enjoy life.
Absolutely.
No one's talking about how do we have a long, fulfilling life. And that's what gave birth to Age Brilliantly.
Well, let's get into that because, it's fascinating to me. So what is Age Brilliantly? What's going on there?
So Age Brilliantly is an interactional community. Let me explain what that means.
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
A little bit different. Most communities are asynchronous. I send you a message, you send it back to me. Think of it that way. With some interaction, you get maybe Twitter to some extent, Facebook clearly, where people can interact with each other and they go back and forth and they're sharing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they're doing it in a defined community from the very beginning. It's your friends. It's your family. Okay. What Age Brilliantly is an interactional platform where anybody can join. And by joining that, they can pick out whatever interest groups they have. So how do I work at 67 in a company and still prove I'm worthwhile? Or how do I raise my kids to realize, my kids and I have this joke about it. When I was 16, you probably the same thing. First thing you ever wanted when you're 16, 17 is a license, right?
We got to have a car.
We got to go somewhere. We want to go out and do things, right? My kids are in their 20s and they don't have licenses. And when they got to that age, I said, why not? They go, Dad, we live in New York City. We don't go anywhere. We use Uber.
Oh my God, they never got licenses to drive.
They don't have licenses. Yeah. We don't have a car because none of that's necessary anymore. And this is the beauty of what Age Brilliantly is about. It's changing the way we think. It's making you think differently. So I'll give you a frame. I gave it yesterday in this workshop. I do workshops, I do webinars, I do a lot of public speaking on this stuff for different kind of markets that are looking at it. Think about the world. When you were born, the world you were born into was mostly made by your grandparents. And your parents were kind of revolting a little bit about it and changing it and updating it. But that was the world you were born into. When you and I die, we're going to die into our grandchildren's world. And what we need to do is when we make our plans for our future. And so what Age Brilliantly is all about is protecting your future self, letting your future self unleash its potential to be anything and everything it wants to be. But you've got to understand that future self is living in a world not quite here yet. Mm-hmm. So when my kid first said that to me, again, they know we talk about Age Brilliantly all the time because they can see how it affects them when they're young. First thing, when they ever started a job, big companies, they said, what should I look forward to on the first day? I said, if I'm right, I don't know. CEO or somebody like that's going to come in and welcome you all as you're part of your class. And he's going to talk about something and he'll have probably half an hour to 45 minutes. And one part of that's going to be put money in retirement plans. We have a 401k. We match it. Put it in there.
And they go,
why would he do that on the first day? Because he knows you're not thinking about it.
Right.
And both come home the next night and say, you were right. That's exactly what happened. Okay. And so that's it. So it's looking at what our world is going to look like. And we do it. So when I said to the kids, don't you ever think of a license? And they go, why? I can take a train, I can take a bus, and now I can get cars, I can rent I wanted to. But the answer is I don't need it. I have Uber. I have Lyft. I get to wherever I want to go. And as I started thinking about it, I said, you know, they don't even need that anymore, because at some point down the road, not very far in the next 10 years, most of those cars are going to not be driven by people, but they're all going to be autonomous.
Amazing to think about, right? That. Yeah.
So that's right, how the world will change, and highways will change, and the way we learn will change, etc. So what Age Brilliantly is about is bringing together this community that can ask each other questions, can create strategic alliances and doing things it wants to do, create new businesses that never existed before to help each other, and change the norms. The number one norm is to be against age discrimination, because the laws are not strong enough on that. And the reality of the situation is, think about it this way. Right. Somebody's worked in a company for 20, 30 years, and now they reach a magic age of 55. And I can tell you how many companies I know do this. And suddenly they disappear. Now, we don't fire anybody. We just restructure it. I have a guy at a very big company who says every 3 years we have to restructure. That's how we get rid of them all.
Yeah.
It's a strategy. It's an amazing thing to do.
Well, Joy, but let me ask you, is the Age Brilliant is a obviously an online community. There's a portal there, and people are going to the portal, which is where the interactivity is happening. Am I describing that right?
You're very close to it. Yes. Everything you said is correct. Step one. The interactivity is actually at two different levels. One is it's on the platform, so there's a forum. You can post your articles if you're a provider. So I came to you and I said, a lot of people I talk to don't have estate plans.
Right.
And I know you work with both attorneys. And I'm saying, you know what? They need to understand how important it is. Isn't it a shame when someone like Sting dies and what happens is doesn't have a will and he doesn't have an estate? So right. You become a partner and you say, listen, we want to educate people what they do so they can use our service to have a better life. So in that sense, it's that partners do that. But the second part of it is it's what you do offline. So you can create groups to do it. So here's an example. In yesterday's workshop that I did, one of the people said, I'm looking to find somebody and have as a significant other because I want to travel. And I said, you mean you say you have to have a significant other to travel? Well, you know, I don't have that many friends anymore. One of the things we don't realize is when we're young, in school, and we have in camp, we have all these friends, and it gets less and less and less as we get older. And I noticed that, and my mom's dead in a major part of what I'm doing because I watched her do right. This. When you're ready to die, you have almost no friends left over anymore. Anyway, it's this ability to do it. So I said, well, one of the people came to us about 2 years ago and said, could I create a company called Travel Buddies? Where people could just say, look, I want to go on a safari. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go see Italy and look at all the Renaissance stuff that's still left over, etc. Couldn't I just get a couple other people who want to do that? I go, great idea. Build it, put it on, we'll advocate for you.
Wow, interesting.
So that's part of it. It's the opportunity to do things we've never done before within what we call SIGs, special interest groups. Now, that's not there now. You don't see it. The other thing you don't see is the other interaction, and the other interaction is really interesting. It's what, unfortunately, I'm spending a lot of my time on right now. We're building an app.
Okay.
Because the reality of the situation is to age brilliantly means every day you're making decisions. Decisions that have something to do with your past, where you are at the present, and where you want to be in the future. And to make the trade-offs between them, you need to think it through and be able to do it. So if we can provide information and also provide a sense where you can keep data. So for example, I want to live at 97. I'm going to give you two stories that are really good about that. 97 and go travel around the world. I'm already obese at 42. What do I do? Well, the answer is on the app, you can grab from us or from someone else. You get a diet plan. You get an exercise plan. You lose all the weight. Now you're excited because you can do things again and you can go out. Now you got 40, 50 years more to do this thing. But what's different about ours is it's all going to be, again, a digital platform so you can keep the data. And the data can be kept so you can come back when you're raising your kids like I do. And you say, when I was your age, you should know I was fat and I had to lose weight. Well, what did you do? Let me show you on my app. You go back into history and you can show this is what I did. This is how I lost it. This is what I thought about life. Boy, was I wrong. Or boy, was I right.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, this is a big data play. Because if our goal is right, the goal of Age Brilliantly is to be a global public company so that people can invest in themselves, whether you're in Nigeria or you're in Senegal or you're in Canada. It doesn't matter where you are. And you work with the local providers or the global providers that are helping you do these things.
I love it. I love it. And where are you, Jerry? What phase are you at right now with Age Brilliantly?
Oh, I would say we're just probably finishing phase one.
Phase one, which is phase one is what?
Really understanding what are the biggest issues that we have to do. What are the pieces of the puzzle? I like to think of us kind of like a shopping center. I've got this massive space that I can work with to attract people in this great community, but I've got to figure out how should it be designed? Where are the parking lots? What kind of stores are here? How to keep the right crowds? How to constantly elevate human capital when we're working there to get the right people so they can build careers there and real friendships? And that's what I've been doing for the last 5 years. And now we're about to take the go into phase two. And actually, you're the first person to know because I haven't told anybody yet. I've just been asked by Forbes. Forbes has a business council to be a member.
Really?
And the next email you get will have the little logo on it that they sent me last night, so I could edit now.
That's
because
great.
What I'm doing, focusing, for example, with business people on two things. One is, what does the Great Resignation really mean? I think it's terrific, because we were worried 4 years ago when automation, artificial intelligence, what happens when people don't have jobs? And we were thinking, we got to get rid of older people. Now what we're finding is the only people that companies can rely on are the older people, because they have a work ethic and they made a decision after 20 years. I really like this job enough that I'm going to stay there. So they're staying, but they're not making decisions about when do I leave my company and what else do I do?
Right.
And yesterday's workshop, for example, it's called Exit Your Business and Launch Your Future Self. Because I have this group of people who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s thinking they want to leave a company, but they don't really have a plan, because guess what? You know what happens when you get to the end of the cliff and there's nothing there? That's where they are. So
right,
at 53, they could live another 47 years and have no plans. They spend more, think of this, people spend more time on one day event called a wedding than they do on their entire post-exit post-retirement period.
Yeah, well, you had a great comment the other day when you and I were talking about the succession planning is that everyone's focused on a number, right? Okay, what's the number? What's the number you need to live on? But you said they should be focused on what are you going to do in retirement? What's the life? What's your life going to be like? Not a financial number, right?
100%. And unfortunately, 95% of all the financial planners stick with that.
Right.
And evaluation, they're all about the numbers of the company and not about what are you going to do with your life. And so we can work with them as partners on this, because we think that's really going to be a major advantage. People thinking it through. Do I need more or less? And we believe very strongly, and when I say the members create companies and concepts, there's a group of people, has nothing to do with Age Brilliantly, but it makes the point, that are they're part of a movement called FIRE, F-I-R-E, Financial Independence, Retire Early. What they do is they start their 20s, that's when we call you an emerging adult, and they look at their life and they say, if I'm going to live long, I don't really want to be part of the system. I want to have some freedom to do what I want to do, maybe write blogs, farm, whatever it is I want to do. I don't need a lot of money to live on. So many of them make a decision using the retirement numbers we now know that if they work really hard and save $1 million and 4% interest, they can live on $40,000. So by the early 30s, some 28, some 32, I watch the ages they have, they achieve that because they've lived frugally all that time. Knowing now what I'm going to do is I've got 60 years in front of me. I can do whatever I want to do in those 60 years, but I'm going to try to keep my expenses to 40. Now, what they don't know is life changes.
Yeah, kids. I want to say, okay, what they don't know is kids and college and expenses. Good luck with that.
You got it. It all changes. Everything changes.
Right.
But what's great about it is they've already set standards. So they have something to work with.
Right.
So what they do is a lot of them create passive income companies, whether they're doing a blog, something on the internet, in real estate. So they're not having to put in 12-hour days like you and I do.
Right.
And the result is they built their life that way. Now, we'll see where it ends up. But that's part of, again, what Age Brilliantly is about. With the data, we can start collecting this stuff over time and see what it really looks like and learn.
Well, so you said the last 5 years you've been focused on getting to where you are now. What does the next 5 years look like? So, you know, after five more years, where are you going to be?
Well, actually, I'm going to answer it a little differently. The plan from the very beginning was 2030. We're going to be a public company.
Okay.
And as a public company, our goal is to have 2 billion people on the planet logging in at some point every day, every month, whatever it is, on an Age Brilliantly facility that's called the app or whatever it's going to be able to grow. So our immediate plan is as follows. To spend for the next 5 years, two things. One is build a community that's local where I am in New York. It's enough people. It's a great place to work from. And build a national presence for thought leadership and education, which is why I'm doing these workshops and just joined the Forbes Council and stuff like that. Because I need to start building partners around the world little by little to be able to understand what it's really about and realize we're, in a sense, the counter movement to the old institutions. Mm-hmm. And so that's our goal between now and then, let's assume 4 to 5 years from now. So we originally said 2025. I'm going to say it's 2026 at the earliest. Then what we do is, and by the way, we're self-funded right now. We've done that on purpose. So we have freedom of movement. At that point, we're going to seek out money to be able to open 5 other ones in different places around the country to prove this model has a global and a local model to work with. Mm-hmm. And then for what we want to do is go public to take this global. And that's our goal.
Man, love it. I could talk to you all day about this stuff. I mean, there's so much going on there. It's a fascinating concept. How do people learn more about what you're doing, Jerry? I mean, getting connected to you on LinkedIn. I mean, we're going to be streaming this everywhere. So we'll have your contact information. They should connect with you on LinkedIn, other places. Any other area you want them to connect?
Two key answers. We're trying to build a lot into this website so we have more of a relationship.
Yeah.
So they can jcahn@agebrilliantly.org is my email. You can always contact me, but you go to the website and the key is join it. It's free. You can't get that. We have a weekly newsletter coming out this year. We've been doing monthly newsletters up till now. That's how you stay in charge of it. If you're a partner potential, like Barth Attorneys could be, for example, or any other company that we work with, we have one of our companies is big in travel, and they every week they provide us a content article that we can share with people that generates leads for them. You can do that directly, again, through the website or through LinkedIn. So businesses that work with LinkedIn, we have a Facebook page that works for individuals.
Okay.
And we will be stepping that up.
Love it. So what I'll do then is I'll put your website link in the video here so people can find it. And love this, Jerry. Obviously, you and I are going to stay in touch. I want to have you back on later on as you progress through this, talk more about it, let everybody know what's going on, track your progress. Thank you for being here, Jerry. Really, really interesting conversation.
It's my pleasure. And I hope your audience enjoys it because I want us all to age brilliantly.
Love it. All right. Take we'll care. See you next time.
You too. And have a happy new year.
Thank you.